How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
Let's see how inspired R-Truth is. He takes on Bo Dallas tonight, one-on-one, live on Monday Night Raw. 14,613 sold out at the Toyota Center in Houston.
Look at this. Bo already taking a victory lap. A preemptive victory lap.
Premature.
Preemptive?
Yes. Remember when Bo Phillips was the coach here in Houston?
That was Bum Phillips. Hey. And here we go, R-Truth rolling up Bo Dallas.
No!
R-Truth got him. He killed the streak. So much for the undefeated streak of Bo Dallas.
The streak is dead.
How could this happen to me? I made my mistakes. Got nowhere to run. The night goes on as I'm
first to beat me, Truth.
I'm a little bit in a state of disbelief about that myself. But this has been a very, very busy week in the wrestling world. And here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, we're trying to keep up with it all. Or at least trying is the operative word. My name is Nikki Heyman, and my table is quite full. In fact, I have the man who provided all the chairs tonight, Mr. Brian Henniger. Brian, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was a bit discombobulated.
Also, our man who takes the bite out of the Big Apple, Jason Block.
You know, I wish we had, you know, time to do stuff. Because, again, this is one of those weeks where nothing happened. Unbelievable.
And then way, way over there on the other side of the planet with his feet up on the table, that would be Bad News Beeman.
Oh, yes, and I'm afraid I've got some bad news for everybody, is the fact that, yes, Bo Dallas lost his streak, and now he is currently sitting at home watching the good old Golden Girls and wondering, why me? Why did I lose to R-Truth? And what's up? Jesus.
Actually, I want to start the show with this, a little bit of good news. And this came down from our legal department. They figured out what the hell happened to the old studio. The funny thing is they traced it back to an email that was bouncing around from our mysterious GM. They got me the guy's name. I told them where this guy lived, and they hauled him off in cuffs. He's not interrupting this show anymore.
Thank God. Seriously. Done. Good. So we're going to just do this one segment now, from now on.
Yeah, one and done.
Good. Good.
And I realize, Brian, that takes away your retro computer thing.
Yeah.
But I you know. can But there's ways to wedge an old computer into a new show like this. You know that.
Yeah, it's had to happen. You know, I just had a birthday, you know. And
as your birthday present, I can get you some visitation hours so you can clobber this guy with a folding chair.
Oh, I would be very much in favor of that because, you know, if it was up to me, I'd let him go. But apparently, the chair just talked to me, and he's been drinking all day.
So, on any other week, the GM being hauled off and Bo Dallas's winning streak being broken would be the top stories on this show. However, this week, the wrestling world has just completely... this will sum it up.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
And most of this started on Sunday, where a couple of phone calls were exchanged between myself and Jason regarding the situation with Spike and TNA. Now, Jason, you don't think the coffin's closed?
I don't think the coffin is closed yet. However, it is on life support. Let me sort of set the stage, if I may. Late Sunday night, there was a tweet from Jim Ross that basically said, "Hope the rumors about Spike TV and Impact Wrestling aren't true." And then I called you up and told you about this tweet, and you're like, you know, is there smoke and then there's fire? And then about 1 o'clock Monday morning, my time, you sent me the link from TMZ. Now, tell everyone here what the TMZ link said.
The TMZ link said that Spike was canceling TNA
after the contract runs out in October.
Right. You know, once we get into October, that's it. Sayonara, see ya, bye-bye. And unfortunately, this comes as a surprise to no one. At least not to me. Shane, would you have been surprised when you heard this?
When I heard that Spike TV had removed themselves from TNA due to Vince Russo, was I surprised? Hell no. Because everyone in the wrestling world knows Vince Russo has pissed off a whole lot of people. In fact, I'm pretty sure he'd be up there or close near your Uncle Paul. Just saying.
Granted, but at least my Uncle Paul can write a wrestling show.
Exactly. So, once again, TNA thought the best way to try and get back Spike TV was let Vince Russo go again. I don't think this is going to be the case because Spike TV are probably just going to think, yeah, you guys fired him, but he's probably just still there. So, we're not going to take that chance with you guys again.
And I know, as a good Christian man, Brian, the fact that TNA lied to Spike about Vince Russo to begin with should be a deal breaker right then and there.
It should be. And it's not just the fact that they lied about Vince Russo. It's the fact that they went back on their promise to him. Because there were two basic things they were told not to have. Number one, they could have no man-on-woman violence. Which, you know, putting, you know, a Dixie Carter through a table at the hands of Brother Ray, that's going to pretty much ruin that plan. And then they tell you do not bring this man back, and we find out he's been on your creative team all this time. I mean, it's almost like they're trying to get their TV deal broken, so they're actually attempting to do it. And I don't get it.
I don't get it either but then again, I don't give a whole lot of credence to Dixie's business acumen, despite how successful her parents are and how successful her, I believe, her brother is.
Oh, yeah. By the way, hey, Dixie, Roddy Piper called. He wants his friggin' line back. Jesus Christ. Sorry. Anyone that watched TNA this week will know what I'm talking about. But, yeah. Ugh.
Now, Jason, they start the first thing that came out went after the TMZ thing broke was that both sides were deny. We're still talking. Really honest. We're still talking.
Yeah, exactly. That was like we're talking, you know, negotiations are still going on. Yeah, okay. And by the way, Spike is not the first. This is not the first time Spike did this, by the way.
Okay.
Spike leaked this when they were negotiating with the WWF at the time. I believe, was it WWF in 2000 or WWE?
It wasn't WWE until 2002, so it was during F,
okay, when they moved to USA, okay, mm-hmm. when they were known as TNN at the time, the National right. Network, or the National right. Network. So, you know, Spike leaked this to TMZ, okay? Don't get me wrong, don't get it twisted. All right. But I don't think that it's just the whole Vince Russo thing. There are so many. We can count the ways why I think Spike is not renewing TNA.
It's a pretty long list. So let's narrow some of this down. Like I said, the whole Vince Russo thing is just making it more and more complicated because A, they lied, and B, he won't shut up.
Yeah, he's like, they suggested I leave.
Then he said I quit. And then he said I quit. And then he said, oh, yeah, maybe I got fired. Vinny, let me just sum it up for you.
You're a lying sack of crap, and you know it.
Yeah. And water's wet and the sky's blue. What more do you want? Seriously.
I realize that, but Shane, if Vince Russo would just shut up and go away, Spike might have a modicum of a chance of getting their deal renewed, but throwing Dixie through the table might have killed it as well.
I don't know why it would have killed the deal. I'm one of the few people that's actually excited to watch Dixie Carter go through a friggin' table.
It's not that. The network itself lambasted TNA once for man-on-woman violence, ironically enough, 7 years ago.
Seven-year rule?
Well, that's fair enough. But Spike TV does have to realize that with Vince Russo thing aside, Spike TV does have to realize that TNA's got to try and get ratings, and everybody will watch the show where Dixie Carter gets put through the friggin' table. Why? Because they hate her guts. So I don't see the problem with it, but obviously because Spike TV's going down like WWE path of staying political, then yeah, okay.
But you did see it this week. They promoted the shit out of it at the end of the show.
So they're going to pop a rating, and then they're going to go right back down again the following week. That's not going to. Jason, that's not going to save them.
No, of course not. And I think our chief high muckety muck wants to say something.
Yeah.
What's up, boss?
Hi. Ever since pretty much Spike lost the UFC, that network's gone way downhill.
They tried to replace UFC with Bellator, and that's not working.
When it comes to the point where you would rather watch Esquire over that, mm-mm.
And I will say this. Jason made a point of it that Russo's not the only reason, and the Dixie Carter thing's not the only reason. There was a promise made by TNA, and it doesn't matter whose mouth it came out of, that their ratings would increase when their contract got renewed a few years ago.
I don't remember this, but okay.
Well, who's the idiot that made that promise? Because I hope to God you got fired. I'm just saying.
My money's on Hogan. I'm trying to remember. But somebody in TNA said we will be able to increase our ratings, and I'm it could have been Dixie saying, you know, this will work if you'll let me bring in Hogan and Bischoff and all his buddies, or Hogan says I'll double your ratings, just let me, you know, just give me the keys, that kind of thing. So TNA saying, we'll get you 2.0s when they can't even break one right now. And go ahead.
I'm sorry, but did Dixie not see the last car that Hogan fucking drove? WCW, yep. Anyone?
It was a white Hummer, right?
And don't forget, nowadays everything's now mostly DVR'd. It ain't live, you know. People they're counting more live viewers than everything, you know.
Right, and so the most people have either see it on DVR or read the spoilers and make up their minds then.
Yeah, pretty much. Back in the day, you didn't have DVR. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, there's just no way right now that TNA can deliver on those kind of numbers. I mean,
and I have numbers, and this is courtesy of PWI, who actually have the statistics of the numbers from July up through July 26, 2012. Okay, so that's right. Going back 2 years. The highest rating that they have had, and I looked through this, was on August 23rd, 2012, where they had 1.7 million viewers. That's it. Okay? They mm-hmm. have not cracked 2 million ever in their TNA run, I don't think, on Thursdays.
I think you're right, Jason.
I don't think they have, because even with the much ballyhooed January 10th show, I think that only popped a 1.5.
January 4th, I think you meant.
Yeah, that one.
You'll never see WWE make monster numbers like they used to. Not with the technology today.
No. And they know that. So, TNA is unfortunately working from an older business model, and they can't make good on that kind of a promise.
No, they can't, and it's scary.
Well, we've got a few other factors that essentially have put TNA in a have pretty much put themselves as an octagonal peg in a square hole.
Very good.
I should have said hexagonal. Sorry.
Yeah, hexagonal. That's right. Hexagon is 6. Right. Octagonal is 8. Yes.
Yeah, the fact that they brought the 6-sided ring back too late. That should have been in the impact zone the day Hogan walked out the door.
Because whether you like it or not, it gives them something different.
And a lot of the guys that were working there at the time preferred it. It sucks that the fact that when they brought a regular ring in, they didn't tell anybody. Thanks, Hogan. And yeah, that does matter. TNA has also been a masters of bait and switch, sometimes poor production, getting little to no ad revenue, even though they were spokespeople for a local auto insurance company.
What the hell was the name of it?
Direct Auto Insurance.
Thank you.
And I'm thinking they had Kurt Angle speak for them once, didn't he?
Yeah.
I know Matt Morgan did.
Yeah, well, they have Direct Auto Insurance. It's not local. It is a national brand, but it's more in the Southeast than it is anything else.
Yeah, because I don't see them. I haven't seen them up here. But any of their cross promoting that they've done between Direct Auto Insurance and Bellator hasn't really generated anything new. While they didn't do guest hosts like WWE did, every time they promised a big name, it wasn't a wrestler.
Yeah, it was like JWoww from the Jersey Shore, or it was
Pac-Man Jones. That's all I got to say.
Pac-Man Jones, freaking King Mo. It's like Jesus.
Quentin Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, Tito but Ortiz. Quentin Rampage, like Rampage Jackson and Tito Ortiz, those were good big names to bring in, but TNA just dropped the freaking ball with them so bad.
It's they bring these guys in with little to no promotion, not knowing what to do with them, and sometimes they couldn't do anything with them, Pac-Man Jones. And, you know, the special guest thing was bad enough. Then when they started bringing names in, hey, look at this guy who just left WWE. Hey, look at this old WCW legend that we found. Well, AJ, Joe, and Christopher Daniels are going, hey!
What about us?
We were here first. You know, they bring Christian in, they bring Angle in, they bring Sting in. You know, Jarrett even started backing away a little bit. You know, granted, he could have backed away a little sooner, but...
Right. But if you look at TNA from its inception, I mean, even with moment one, when you had Toby Keith, who actually did more wrestling than some of the celebrities that they brought in later on. Don't get me wrong.
Pac-Man Jones.
Okay. But remember, look at who you had in the beginning. You had AJ Styles. You had James. You had America's Most Wanted. You had, you know, Petey Williams and Team Canada, Elix Skipper. You had the Motor City Machine Guns. You had talent and a women's division that could rival any women's division. And now, right now, it's WWE Lite. It's not TNA. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's the fact that they're writing staff. I think one of the guys used to be a WWE yes man, so there's part of your problem.
That's John Gaborik, if I think.
Yeah, him.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah, him.
Right.
So all of this, you know, all of this comedy of errors.
Oh, Nikki, don't forget the infamous Cape Girardeau incident.
There's Cape Girardeau with all the licensing issues. I was at one of their disasters.
Now, I don't know the story behind Cape Girardeau. What was that all about?
It was a TNA house show, and half of their crew couldn't work the show because they weren't licensed in Missouri. That's on the office. I know that the guys are independent contractors, but at least the office needs to keep track of that. And some states, Missouri and Kentucky, are big sticklers about this. If you've got one unlicensed person on the show, they will shut the whole freaking show down. I almost got a show shut down because I wasn't licensed in Kentucky. I had to sneak my bags back to the car.
Excuse me.
So... there was that, and you from the number two promotion in the country, you don't see that. I mean, that's Bush League. Major, major Bush League crap. The fiasco that I was at was Lockdown 07.
Oh, you poor, poor woman. Oh,
I had the best seats in the house for one of the biggest disasters in TNA history. All cage pay-per-view. Did we pack everything? Yeah, we've got the ring. We've got the custom cage for the electrified cage match. We've got all the bits and weapons for the main event. We load up the truck and we get going. Oh, we forgot our cage.
Crap.
For your all cage match pay-per-view. Really? Really?
Jesus.
Really? Excuse me, you're right.
Jesus! Yeah, that's a... yeah.
That earned a Zandig.
It did. Because it was so facepalm worthy. And I think this was one of the first nights that you had the Fire Russo chance. Because to do a special effect with the electrified cage, they had to play with the lights and play a sound effect, which doesn't fly live. Sorry.
Oh, yes. And let's not... now, even though this was a controversial storyline, let's not forget the most distasteful friggin' thing I've seen in professional wrestling history. And yes, I am including all things WCW. friggin' Jeff Jarrett pretty much rubbing in Kurt Angle's face every night of the week. Yeah, I'm doing your wife. Like, holy crap.
I thought you were going to talk about Clara Lynch.
Oh, the Clara Lynch thing. Sweet mother of God.
Who, you know, an actress, they got an actress, and the job she had before that was playing olive oil at the theme park.
So there wasn't much of a step up, and she probably was paid less.
Like,
no, but I mean, I really think you can say legitimately that the Hogan Russo,
the original Three Amigos, screwed them. Like,
well, and Russo got more than one shot at it. Hogan and Bischoff just did their thing.
Yeah, and they got. I'm back. Sorry, I didn't mean to get foobarred there.
No, you're all right. It's almost, you know, it's almost poetic.
I didn't mean to get foobarred there.
I know, but you were talking about TNA, and that foobars everybody.
Yeah, well, okay. But no, but what I'm just saying is that you could say that Hogan and Bischoff have killed two feds. Two.
Hogan and Bischoff and Russo are all have their hands dirty on what happened to TNA, but this ultimately falls on Dixie Carter.
Yeah, I will actually agree with that, because we all know if Jeff was actually running the company, Jeff learned what happened from WCW. Okay, there would be no chance in hell Jeff would have brought in Bischoff and Hogan. But because it wasn't his company anymore, well, Dixie got daddy's money, and, well, she just thought she knew everything.
Well, the thing was, they tried to bring Hogan in back when they were still NWA TNA, and they shot an angle in Japan where Hogan talked about how the one major title he had not won was the NWA championship. And when he said that, Jeff Jarrett comes in with the guitar and blasts him over the head with it. But then nothing came of it because it couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah, I do remember that press conference. Yeah.
And I mean, when Dixie got the company first, you know, she might know something about business, but she doesn't know a damn thing about wrestling. I will go all the way back to the televised speech she made to the roster about how you are working for me or you are here against me. The whole fans are the cast members bullshit.
Which, if they're cast members, why aren't they getting paid?
Nobody gets paid in TNA.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, this is a company where one of their workers, Jesse Neal, went on, I think, Facebook and bragging that he had gotten approved for food stamps.
And their women's champion at one time was working at a Sunglass Hut while she was still champion, and had to quit that job when she got recognized.
I just find it extremely funny that, you know, TNA want to bring in, like, new stars and everything, and they think the best way to do it is to go down the military route and get, like, you know, former army people. It's like, yes, I respect what people do for the armed forces, but you don't really, I don't think they're going to be a saving grace for a sinking ship already.
Mm-hmm.
I have two words for you. Jesse Sorensen.
Oh, God. That. Seriously?
I'll give you two more. Daphne Unger.
Yep. Thank you.
Oh, Daphne. Daphne was the reason I watched the TNA X Division. God damn it. She was brilliant and they completely screwed her over. And as for Jesse Sorensen, well, that's just one of the times where, yeah, and I do apologize for every female that's listening to this, but it's the one time I wanted to piss on Dixie Carter. It's like, seriously? You got to make a promise to a man that literally broke his neck for you and say, you will never be out of a job. Never. And you don't even have the common decency to fire him yourself. You piece of shit.
Okay. Let's pile on TNA for a second. Let me ask you this question. And I'll ask you this, Nikki. Does TNA get a deal with Spike, or do you think the contract goes?
I think the contract's going to run out. And if TNA wants to survive, they're probably going to have to go to the ROH model. They're going to have to do their stuff online, and they're going to have to find somebody who's willing to host their content if they can't afford the website themselves. Because right now, WWE isn't in the greatest of shape either, and there's rumors everywhere about Ring of Honor on sale. And I'm still trying to confirm those.
I haven't heard that at all.
Okay. I won't go into that one because I don't have enough information, but WWE got its own dose of quote unquote, well, depending on who you ask, is it good news or bad news? I'll get to it momentarily. TNA has not been able to deliver in-ring product, notoriety, and ad revenue. No television network is going to touch them with a 15-foot pole, including the one that Vince Russo claims he keeps in his basement.
Good God. But in all seriousness, I'm gonna say this, and people can hate me for it, I don't care, but I'm actually liking the idea that I saw as just a meme on Facebook. Okay.
Okay.
Is that I would say Dixie Carter, just give your friggin' company to Vince, and then. Because we've seen what Paul Levesque can do with NXT and how he's doing a great job building that up. I say, friggin' give Paul Levesque TNA and see if he can bring that back to its glory days. That's just what I think. Have Vince running WWE, have Triple H running TNA. People might go nuts about me about that, but oh well.
No, actually, I forgot who I read this from. This might have been from the message board that I'm on. Somebody made a point that TNA had every opportunity to make and keep fans, and they kept doing everything they could to turn them away. You know where all those fans are right now? They're at Full Sail watching NXT.
Amen.
Now, yeah. And TNA, all they get are the tourists who are waiting for John Cena to walk out.
Oh, God. If anyone ever says that John Cena is going to be the saving grace for TNA, I will literally walk away.
Oh, no. That's not like that. Not like that. These are tourists who don't watch wrestling on a regular basis.
Oh, yes.
I'm not part of the zombie nation that thinks that that TNA is secretly getting a deal signed with CM Punk to come onto their show. I'm not part of the zombie nation that claims that they're going to break their ratings record with their next one night only. Let me see what else Mikey gave me.
Well, I hate to burst people's bubbles, but Jesus Christ, your current pay-per-view that you just did, Destination X, that lost viewers, and that had probably one of the best matches I've seen in a long time, which was the Hardy Boys versus the Wolves.
Ooh, it's like, I'm gonna have to go Jesus. Find this. But yeah, here's some zombie speak for you. Impact loses 37,000 viewers this week because of TMZ.
Huh?
That's what the zombies are thinking. That TNA lost viewership because everybody's gloom and doom about the show being canceled, even though negotiations are ongoing. I don't like the idea of having people lose jobs. I'm going to put that out there first. But
especially the ones that have been there since day one and have busted their ass to make that company the best that it is.
Cowboy James Storm for one.
Right. And the guys that have stuck it out since they've been signed on. Samoa Joe has had a mountain of reasons to walk away.
Oh, Samoa Joe should Bobby have packed Roode, bags almost, when AJ did.
Yeah. Bobby Roode is on Hunter's speed dial. He could have left.
Oh, don't blame him. He had the best opportunity to be the man, Bobby Roode, but he did that promo on Hulk Hogan, and he stated absolute fact that night.
Which was?
They absolutely shit on him.
Like, which was what, if I may ask? What was the promo? What did he say?
That was when he finally became Bobby Roode instead of Robert Roode. And said, "My name is Bobby Roode, and you listen to me, you son of a bitch. I'm gonna be standing here in this ring and friggin' stopping you from bringing all the old friggin' guys in here and stand up for the guys that are in here every night busting their ass." So pretty much talking about Eric Young, AJ Styles, and all them. Unfortunately, Bobby did not live up to that promise.
Oh, again, Eric Young. Don't get me started on Eric Young. Oh my God.
Eric Young is a mainstay over there who they've done all kinds of crazy stuff with, and I think he didn't mind being the comedy jobber. I mean, I loved the Don't Fire Eric angle in 06.
And then becoming Super Eric, which I thought was hilarious.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I have a Prince Justice League T-shirt.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm actually one of the few people that was like, give that man the World Heavyweight Championship, for God's sakes. Just give Super Eric the World Heavyweight Championship. I would have laughed my ass off, but enjoyed it at the same time.
I would have paid a lot of money to see that. I would have paid money to see Shark Boy with the belt. But I would have paid money to see Curry Man with the belt.
Yes, but you see, they gave Eric Young the belt because, oh, wait a minute. 3 days before, an underweight, bearded guy from the Northwest won the heavyweight championship and the other fed. So let's do the entire angle in one night and beat him. And have him beat Magnus. Oh, well.
So, you know, we may be piling on, but right now we've got more evidence than ever that whoever they can actually snow somebody into extending their contract, I'll be impressed. But right now I think if Spike wants wrestling, they're going to let TNA go and see if Global Force actually gets off the ground.
Oh, and Global Force will get off the ground. I mean, good God. The amount of pissed off former TNA employees that are going to go with Jeff. I mean, we've already heard the rumors of friggin' Blueprint Matt Morgan, Hurricane Helms. The list just keeps going on and on. Mickey James.
Okay, you have my attention. Matt Morgan and Hurricane Helms. I'll watch now.
Yeah, I was just like, with all that, it's like, holy crap. Okay, fair enough. Done and dusted. And then, of course, add the Motor City Machine Guns, ladies and gentlemen, and you're done.
You're breaking my heart. You're absolutely breaking my heart. You got Jeff Jarrett, who's been in this business for going on 25 years now. You have Toby Keith, who respects the business, knows a little something, something about it, and has money. That doesn't make him a money mark. That makes him somebody who might actually let Jeff do what needs to be done to get a wrestling company off the ground. So, Jason, wild speculation. Somehow Spike gets their deal.
With TNA?
Spike somehow ends up extending TNA's deal.
Right, okay.
Now what?
Same old, same old. There, if see, here's the problem with this. Because you know we've got about 40 minutes and a lot more to talk about. But
I know.
But I'll just say this: if Spike gets the deal from for TNA, TNA is not going to improve. If TNA doesn't get the deal, they're going to, because they're going to be scared, and they're going to have to improve the product somehow in the next few months, in the next 2 months. But I don't know if that'll save it. That's all.
I just, you know, the Bobby Lashley working Bellator is not going to save it. Dixie going through the table next week isn't going to save it. And any signings that TNA may have made in the last couple of weeks ain't going to save it either.
Oh, yeah. DJ Zima Ion signing a multi-year deal. Woo!
I hope you get your money up front, Zima. If not, AIW will catch you.
Holy crap.
AIW Cleveland will catch you, and Super Oprah will be waiting with open arms.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, Vince is still waiting for your phone call, buddy. You might want to make that now.
Hey, Bobby, when the clock strikes 12, we got the doors open.
Oh, hell yeah. I want Bobby Roode on my WWE TV screen today.
And all of the former WWE guys that are over there, despite the fact that Spike and TNA are paying them, they all say, I want one more run in WWE.
Yep. Jeff Hardy.
No one is saying, I want to end my career here.
Nope. Kurt Angle's gone on record and said he wants to retire in WWE. Jeff Hardy, I should say, has just recently done an interview and said, yep, I'd love one more run to get back with my creatures of the night. Yeah, you TNA fans aren't his creatures. Holy shit.
They're not creatures. They're zombies.
Brains. That's why zombies won't eat anything in TNA. There's no brains there. Anyway.
It's just, you know, it's sad. I don't want TNA to fail, but they're trying so hard. They're trying so hard to fail, it's not funny anymore.
I know. It is pitiful. It really is pitiful for a once great company to be like this. You know?
Guys, I was at Bound for Glory 06. That was an amazing show. I was on the proper side of the ring when I believe Christian got Rhino Driver through a table.
Oh God! Can you take me back to those days? In fact, hell, I'm going with Jason. Can you take me back to when it was like NWA TNA, like back when it was really good, when Caval was doing crazy, when Low Key, I should say, was doing crazy crap, and AJ Styles and. Like, the main event wasn't about the World Heavyweight title, it was about the X Division title. Like,
give us AJ, Joe, and Daniels all over again. Let's go back to that. So, let's see. Oh, okay.
So besides Bo Dallas losing, did WWE do anything of epic proportions this week?
Well, the numbers are out, and depending on who you ask, WWE is doing just fine, or these numbers are bad news.
Hmm. Oh, speaking of bad news, I've got a bone to pick with these friggin' internet friggin' fans. Seriously. I mean, can you morons make up your mind already? I mean, Jesus Christ.
On who? On who and on what?
Oh, for God's sake. People are like want more attitude, right? They want right. The attitude era back, and they want more attitude brought in. But yet, when they get it in the form of the promo of the night, what we saw from Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella, where they both called each other bitches in the middle of the ring during PG era, mind you,
mm-hmm.
and they're showing a bit of attitude, and then the match gets set for SummerSlam between those two, the internet fans start getting bitchy and be like, "Are you serious? That was the worst promo in the world." It's like, it's the PG era, guys, and you want more attitude. You get some swearing in there like you guys wanted, but you're not happy. Like, I'm just starting to think, you idiots are never going to be happy.
Well, it's the same thing. They did the same kind of bitching when Dear Uncle Paul faked a heart attack on the show a couple of months after Lawler came back. You know, you want attitude? Okay. That was pretty twisted. And, oh, by the way, you know, Lawler signed off on it. He still jokes about it.
Yeah.
They
were in Montreal, what, 2-3 weeks ago? And Lawler made a couple of cracks about it. I might actually make it through tonight. You know.
Hell, I remember when they did the thing with Brad Maddox having his first match and against Ryback, and they brought an ambulance out to more or less pick him up, and Jerry said, "Oh, I'm sorry, my ride's here."
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just happy he made it.
Yeah. Go ahead, and then of course, like, they wanted more edgier TV, and you had CM Punk coming out with Paul Bearer's ashes, and I put that in quotex for all of you idiots that actually believed that it was actually Paul Bearer's ashes. And then pulls them out onto Undertaker and on himself, and everyone lost their shit. Everyone's like, "Are you serious? That's so disrespectful to Paul Bearer." It's like, it wasn't him. Calm down. It was some dirt. Relax.
His two sons signed off on it. You know, you have every right to be offended, but don't be offended for them.
Yeah, it's like, don't come out and say, "Oh, I feel so sorry for that family. They're the ones that signed off on it, you morons."
I'm sorry. When I go, I hope I'm part of a wrestling storyline. When I go, I hope somehow I'm part of a wrestling storyline.
Yeah, and I do agree with the high chief Muck in the talking with us in the chatty, saying that the story between Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon is brilliant, in my opinion, as well. It's just like, it's really good. And then, not to mention the stuff with AJ and Paige right now, that's like Attitude Era diva stuff right there. So if you guys are going to bitch about that, then just shut up. I don't want to hear any of your reviews or anything like that. Just shut up.
Shane,
you have to remember something. If they have nothing to complain about, they're not happy, you see?
Exactly.
It's pretty simple, Shane. The general IWC, the number threes, can never be satisfied or placated, even when you give them exactly what they ask for.
Because if you give them what they want, and they don't think they are complaining about something, then in their weird teeny tiny brain pans, they're thinking that they're not being the voice of reason because they're actually being entertained, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no. Oh, it makes sense, but I just found it completely funny, you know, because I hear some of these idiots go on their things and go, "The WWE doesn't pay attention to us. They don't listen to us." And then when Paul Levesque comes out on live TV and says, "I'm going to send out a tweet and me and my friend Mark are going to threaten and not show up to the show. It's like, oh, God. I was like, thank you.
And then yeah, I think you may have that, don't you, Nikki?
I had the video clip. I would love to have. I'm going to have to bug Jim for the audio clip, but I do have this.
I'm Mark, and I'm really smart.
That sums up the number threes right there.
Damn straight.
And they hate that crap. You know what they do? They'll turn it. They would listen to a positive broadcast like ours and call us apologists. I have been called a WWE apologist so many times, I ignore it anymore. They're putting on a hell of a product right now. Hunter's having an absolute blast as the COO and part of the authority, and he doesn't have to wrestle anymore. Stephanie is elevating the Bellas, who I felt were pretty much lost causes when it comes to the Divas division. We're actually paying attention to the Divas division because we have AJ as champ and Paige being crazier than AJ, which is why AJ's so jealous and beats the crap out of Paige and vice versa.
Yes.
We have, you know, we've got a great beast B-level storyline with Seth Rollins running around with the briefcase and nobody able to get a leash on Dean Ambrose.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view!
To the point that Hunter had Ambrose thrown out of the building saying, I quote, I'm not going to have him screw this up.
And what happens? He finds a way to screw it up!
Well, he didn't screw it up. He made it better. But yeah.
And you also have a very good intercontinental battle, which is probably going to be leading to a Ziggler-Miz match at the pay-per-view. Hello!
And Miz has found his niche as the Hollywood douchebag. I'm okay with this. It's so natural.
Sort of like Andy Kaufman 2.0.
Oh, yeah. and then of course we've got the return of the Viper, which is what everyone wanted, and you've got some Attitude Era stuff of Roman Reigns getting put through a table, which is building up.
Which was awesome. By the way, that was one of the best beatdowns of a big man in a long time. Really good stuff.
Exactly. You could not have called him Randy Borton that night. Okay, he was just awesome with what he did, and Roman Reigns is definitely one to watch out for in the future, and I'm looking very much forward to their match at SummerSlam.
But guys, we're all forgetting why we can't be happy right now.
Why can't we be happy?
John Cena is the champion.
Oh, don't be that person.
I know. I'm parodying that person. parodying that person. But yeah, you know, as long as I maintain, as long as John Cena is gainfully employed for the WWE, the number threes will never be happy.
Until he turns heel, which he won't.
Yeah, if it was up to them, he would be jobbing in NXT right now.
Yes. He and Adrian Neville would trade places. And oh, by the way, there's a press photo of Neville in civvies wearing glasses with his belt over his shoulder. I swear to God, I thought Robert Irvine had been thrown in the dryer.
Oh, hello.
Let me find this picture. Seriously. I looked at it. I thought it was Robert Irvine.
From Dinner Impossible?
Yes.
Actually, you know what? I will give credit where credit is due to some people, because they actually have some brilliant ideas of ways to bring up NXT people. And I thought, what? Because we all know that your dear Uncle Paul has dropped Cesaro as a Paul Heyman guy, and everyone's saying that maybe your Uncle Paul should go down to NXT and grab a certain El Generico, a.k.a. Sami Zayn, and make him a Paul Heyman guy.
No, Sammy's not going to need my Uncle Paul. I think I would like to see Uncle Paul get a rebound wrestler and walk in with the second coming of Punk and see if he can impress us with Corey Graves once he gets healthy.
Oh, and by the way, the reason why Cena, as you said, the reason why Cena can heal is because WWE earns money from merch. That's the reason why. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing it since 05. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, you know, the joke, you know, Walmart wouldn't hire me because I can't sell. Kmart hired me because all I sell is merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't save Kmart, but, you know, but you get what I'm saying. And putting the belt on Cena right now is safe because the paying audience, not the internet audience, the paying audience is still paying for Cena merch. Until they stop paying for Cena merch, Cena's always going to have that place to land. And nobody else seems to understand that.
I know. You know what the most funny thing is, though? Is that Cena's got so many accolades in his career. So many accolades. But he's never once won the Intercontinental Championship.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's not a Grand Slam champion.
No, and I have a funny feeling that if he ever did win that Intercontinental Championship, I can just imagine YouTube and Twitter and everything blowing up, saying, "This is bullshit." John Cena has won the Workhorse friggin' Championship. He does F all.
And
can we bring on that chaos, please? Because I just want to love it. I just want to love seeing it.
Go ahead, Jason.
I'll pop some popcorn.
I was about to say, look, I'm not a fan of Cena right now. I still think that Cena has buried more people in his career than Triple H ever did. Okay, and I will still stand by that. That being said, I understand why Cena is in the spot he is in right now. That's it. You know? Mm-hmm. Because, look, they need to sell SummerSlam because of the numbers we found out about earlier this week.
Yes, and I might want to get to those at some point, but keep going.
Okay. So Cena's the man. Cena's the guy. Is there anyone else even close right now? The only one who is close is Daniel Bryan, who still gets yes chance all over the place, by the way. Thank you very much. Yes. And Roman Reigns. That's all the big baby faces you got.
And CM Punk, who's longer than, he still gets chanted.
Like, well, I think that's more of an FU sort of chant, okay? But
what do you mean, an FU chant, really?
All right, fuck you.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, yeah, CM Punk is the new boring. I mean, but that's just me. But you know, I mean, but right now, Cena's the guy. Cena's the man right now. You just got to deal with it and understand it. That's just what it is.
And he generates a lot of revenue for that company.
And to the number threes, he still gets a reaction. That's why he smiles when you boo him.
Yeah, I think it was your Uncle Paul that said it best, like in that promo he did with Brock in the ring, saying, "And there are those that don't have their mothers wiping their noses and everything else, saying, Cena sucks. If you guys stop saying Cena sucks and stop paying attention to him altogether, then that's actually more worse than saying, well, Cena sucks." Because if you get...
Exactly. Because they've sold Cena sucks T-shirts. They've sold if Cena wins, we will complain on the internet T-shirts. I've seen Cena wearing that damn shirt.
I've seen John Cena literally go up to the leader of a friggin' We Hate Cena club and take a photo with him, going hey hey.
Yeah, the official We Hate Cena guy. He went up to him, smiled, and put his arm around him, and let the handheld take a picture of it. It was hysterical. Go ahead.
I was about to say, he knows he's hated. He knows it. And he's laughing his ass all the way to the multi-million dollars in the bank. Thank you so much. And he's sleeping with Brie Bella. Or Nikki.
Nikki Bella. No. He's there are two big differences between Brie Bella and Nikki.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That deserves a rim shot. Thank you very much.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it now, does.
Let's actually get to some numbers. Some people are gloom and dooming because they think that that 1 million number is the success number. And the network isn't going to get that. The network is roughly at 700,000 subscribers. They did lose some. They are losing some, and they will probably lose a lot more come renewal time, but we won't know that for another couple of months. That won't hurt them too much because they're going to start the worldwide rollout of the network. So, Mr. Beeman.
Yes.
Please mark August 12th on your calendar.
Okay.
That is when the network will be available in your neck of the woods.
Yes, I'll be very much looking forward to that. And, I will actually say I would actually spend money on it because I definitely do want to watch NXT.
I would go with the six-month subscription because there's an interesting little sale that WWE is going to set up for the network. Because there's going to be people that say, you know, I don't like the fact that I got to pay for 6 months I have to have a six-month commitment. Isn't there any way I could just get it for the pay-per-views? And they said, sure, we'll let you go a la carte. But it's going to cost you $19.99 a month.
Which is brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy.
It's a great price point. It is a great price point because now you'll buy, you know, so you've got $60. Do you want three pay-per-views or do you want the entire library for 6 months? Really? Come on.
Now, if only they'd get reruns of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, then I'd be all over that.
I need to do a little rummaging around myself. There's a couple of shows I want to go back and watch. But I'm just saying, they're saying, okay, you want a la carte? You're going to pay for a la carte. If you want everything, just get the subscription. I'd rather pay $10 a month for a pay-per-view than 20, especially if we get a bad pay-per-view. I don't feel it so much in my wallet. But yeah, the worldwide rollout is going to include for August Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Singapore, Mexico, Spain, and the Nordic countries, among others. They'll have it up and running in the UK by October, and they're still working on getting things set up for Italy, the United Arab Emirates, Germany, Japan, India, China, Thailand, and Malaysia. Oh yeah, Canada, keep watching it on TV.
Although, this week they signed a massive deal with Rogers.
That's what I'm saying. There was nothing listed in all the countries that are being rolled out to get the network in Canada. Insert South Park joke here. Let's see, what else have we got? The network is going to be on several different smart TVs and Blu-ray players by the middle of the month. Let's see, what else have we got?
I mean, they did have a little bit of a loss at $14.5 million.
A lot of that is between the stock drop and startup costs for the network. So it was expected money.
Yeah, it's like $75 million over 4 years.
So, you know, I don't think they're doing that bad. And a lot of some people, like I said, a few people are gloom and dooming because the network didn't get their million subscribers.
And we did have a 7% reduction in staff, which is never good.
No.
And they cut some of the chaff out of the NXT roster. There were a handful of releases, but nobody that was regular on TV.
No.
And nobody that was a regular on air with NXT that I'm aware of.
Although there was one significant release this week.
Okay.
Ricardo Rodriguez, or El Local, as he was sometimes known, is no more.
it sounds like he asked for his release because he wanted to wrestle more. And apparently they didn't have too many jobs for El Local, although I would have loved to keep him tagging with Kalisto. So I'm guessing he's going to go back to Mexico and work and go back under the mask as Chimera. And, you know, work the Mexican circuit because at least he gets to wrestle. Because I'm sure he doesn't mind the pay-per-view panel gig. But I think he wanted to do a lot more. I mean, he was blessed and damn lucky to get the post that he got being Del Rio's announcer. Do you know the story about this?
No. Tell us.
It was down to him and somebody else, and the reason he got it was because he actually had a tuxedo handy.
No kidding.
So he had a tuxedo, he put on the tuxedo, they gave him a microphone, and he hit the ball out of the park. People still do the Del Rio thing. Lillian does a muted version of it when she does introduce Del Rio in Spanish.
Right.
There was a site out there that would translate some of Ricardo's accolades of Del Rio, which I would love to have a complete list at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love just because it had the great line, he's become a big deal fairly quick.
That was a little blunder on WWE.com that Del Rio will never live down.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Let's see, getting back to numbers. Mania overall, it did just under 700,000 buys, which sounds bad, but remember, you had another 500,000 watching it on the network. Those aren't in these numbers. Extreme Rules did 108,000 buys. That's not with the network numbers. Payback only did 67,000 buys, but again, network. Money in the Bank did 122,000 buys. This sounds horrible, but they don't have the network numbers added in. The good news is they know that they've got these a lot of people that are getting it through the network. The bad news is the wrestlers aren't able to figure out what exactly their payouts are going to be, because some of their payout is from pay-per-view revenue, not necessarily just the gate and merch, but this. And it's not clear in their contracts either.
Do you think that's why CM Punk decided to go bye-bye?
I think Punk was one of the people that stepped up and said, okay, how does this network stuff work? And they hit him with Double Talk. They hit him with corporate. And he had every right to get up at that point.
All right, fuck you.
And walk out. Because I don't like getting corporated either. Am I getting paid the same way for internet content than I am for TV and pay-per-view content? Yes or no? Corporate, 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 corporate. You don't do that to your people. So, you know, the word is a lot of the guys are just getting their WrestleMania payouts. And it's not horrible, but it's not, you know, as good as it's been in previous years, which is going to be a blow to morale, especially once it finally sinks in. The difference here. And whoever brought a candy bar better be sharing.
I thought my mic was muted.
So for the rest of the class, what are you eating?
A few Girl Scout cookies.
What flavor?
Thin Mints.
There Yay. You go. Yay, good stuff. Just not embarrassing you, just you know. By the way, they're better frozen if you've ever tried it that way.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I somehow ended up with three boxes of mints, and two boxes automatically went in the freezer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes, the third box still hasn't been opened.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you have currently tuned into the North American Wrestling Association, where all this is getting, it's going from wrestling to orgasms over cookies. Thank you.
Excuse me. Have you ever had United States Girl Scout cookies? Do you have girl guides down there?
Yes, they magically turn up on our doorstep on kangaroos and, you know, just...
Shut up!
Fine.
Fine. Okay. I think we're getting off topic here. Go on. Back to the numbers. Yes. Okay.
Yes, you're right. This is a little... Cookies is not necessarily wrestling.
I think we're getting off topic here.
The stock isn't, you know, the stock isn't in the toilet. It's up, was up 39 cents. Do you have the current, do you have what the total will close today, Jason?
Yes, it is $13, $13.03, up 55 cents.
So I don't think WWE's really in any kind of trouble right now. Yeah, they lost some money, but they knew they were going to lose some money. And they are making the proper corrective measures if it happens to be too much money that they're losing.
Actually, I mean, because you got to think about it. I mean, I forget how much that was lost. Was about 18 and a half million?
14 and a half.
Okay, you got to think that they've, you know, if they've spent $75 million on this network, you know, to lose that little amount of money, that's not bad.
No. I think they're gonna be fine. It's just, you know, they knew that they were gonna have a couple of rough patches with the network starting up, and with the worldwide rollout, that's going to soften the blow a great deal. And it's just a matter now that, you know, when they start looking at pay-per-view numbers, you gotta remember the network numbers are not included. This is just what's left of cable and satellite providers and whatever other means that, you know, people have to viewing the pay-per-views. But once they have the network, these numbers are going to go down even further. So I honestly don't think that there's going to be any TV numbers for pay-per-views within, I'm going to say, 3 years. What do you think, Brian?
I think that the company's going to be okay. I mean, I really think they are. I mean, the whole situation that's happening right now is, it is like you're saying. You know, there were some outlaying costs. They knew that they were sunk costs. That money is not coming back. I just think what they need to do is get the excuse me, sorry about that, is to get the worldwide rollout to happen as quickly as possible, and they're going to get a lot of, I mean, put it like this, once they get it in England, that's going to be huge for them, because England is a hotbed of wrestling fans.
And then when they can open up in major markets like India and China, you automatically get a huge, you know, you're going to get a hell of a grab out of that, because you're throwing your product at 2.5 billion people. Now, granted, in India, there's not as many people with, you know, with a working television, but I shouldn't say things like that. But
in
once
China, there will be a lot of censorship issues, but still.
That's why they stream. Sorry. So we've talked all this wonderful stuff, and we haven't even touched Raw or SmackDown, really. And I don't even think we have to.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the only major things that, you know, we have, like I said, any other week, R-Truth beating Bo Dallas would have been our front page story. And go ahead.
And the awesome, as we said, the awesome Brie Bella Stephanie McMahon angle, which was great.
It's I'm probably of the minority. I'm not, you know, I'm not as into it as you guys are. I should be. I really should be. I'm digging some more of the stuff that's going on with Jericho and the Wyatts. And, oh, yes, Jericho versus Rollins on free TV.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Absolutely. You're breaking my heart. The Orton Reigns brawl, which we touched on earlier, was very good. When Orton tries, he's good. Don't get me wrong. Just most of the time, I would prefer him under somebody else's boot.
But what I really liked was when he said, "You stole this from me." I mean, you saw legit passion and energy from him.
And like, that's something that has been, when he, like I said, when he tries, he is quite good. But he's phoned it in so much that he just turns me off.
What gets me about him, what got me about that segment that was so, it was sickening, but it was fascinating at the same time, was he did the first RKO and the table didn't break.
Which and is usually, that usually elicits a snicker from this side, but go on.
But it was like, you know, because you're expecting it, because you being an insider fan, you're expecting, well, he'll get the RKO and the table's going to give and that'll cushion it. When that table doesn't give, it doesn't collapse, you're like, oh my holy God, that had to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He did it a second time, then the table gave. I mean, that was an old-fashioned just curb stomping. And it was a great segment, and I got over that Randy Orton has gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. And speaking of cuckoo, Gold Stardust is out cuckooing Gold Dust, and that is gotta be some that is some deep fried gold.
That is awesome.
Where do I have
the cosmic key?
And then he had that big gigantic equation chalkboard.
I want to freeze frame it and see what he actually put up there and if it's legit.
And then he came back and just written down and said, "I have the key."
Or they have it.
They have the key.
And then we're going to send that over to Damien Sandow and be like, "There's someone actually smarter than you." And like, Jesus. These days, there's someone smarter than you these days. I mean, the fact that you're dressing up.
Sandow, we have a problem. Yeah. Mr. Sandow, we have a problem. We've got to find something that works for you. When they went through Canada a few weeks ago, I thought it was a test because at least he was in the ring with Bret Hart, who punched his lights out, but that's okay. But I'm not sure, you know, now I might have to retract my thought that this is a test because at some point they got to do something with Sandow. They're doing something with, you know, they let R-Truth beat Bo Dallas. And then R-Truth got a moral victory with the DQ win on SmackDown. Fandango's losing matches to the friggin' Matadors because of his ex-girlfriends.
And someone finally clued it into maybe the writing crew that it wasn't because that he got that the Fandangoing trend happened because they were in New York City after WrestleMania.
But, you know, there's still a little bit of a pop for it. I think Adam Rose is in slightly more danger than Fandango.
Yeah, to be Adam honest. Rose, there's people are seeing through his gimmick.
And it's a shame because it's a fun gimmick, but it's a one-note gimmick, and you need to have something more to it. And with Fandango, you had the extra bit that he would let some of that creepy Curtis in. To the point that when he, you know, when both of the gals dumped him, all I could think of was I think it was from NXT when he was with oh, what's her name? She's not there anymore. I forget who it was, but it was another chick with him who was horrified and looked at him and said, why do you have chloroform? And he looks back at her and says, why don't I have chloroform?
No, it's, why wouldn't I have chloroform?
Yeah, seriously. So, you know, the fact that he's, you know, the ballroom dancing thing is just the outer layer. The inner layer is the fact that this guy is a creep. And that's, I think that's where we're going with the ex-girlfriends making fun of him.
I just remember him saying to her, you owe me. And she's going, no, you don't owe me. I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything. Because she wanted no part of them chloroforming Matt Stryker.
Stryker would have stood still for it. So, like I said, there wasn't a whole lot with the shows that we needed to talk about. So, I think we've hit all the major news that we needed to hit. Right?
I think we've squeezed enough out of this show.
All right, let's go ahead and put a bow on this little thing, Mr. Beeman. I'm afraid you have the bad news that you've nothing to promote.
Oh God, the only thing I've got to promote is WWE 2K15. Get it today, people.
pre-ordered it for all the Sting stuff.
Be dialed, people.
I've already have pre-ordered it, and yes, it's awesome.
And since we're talking about video games, I will naturally go to Brian.
Pixel Nation, listen to it every week. It is the premier video gaming podcast on CLW83.com. And it is co-hosted by the one, the only, the exceptional Mr. Jason Block.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, the woman who you are thinking of, my Google Foo is strong, Maxine. Was the woman.
Thank you.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yes, exactly. But yes, we just finished last night. We finished an episode of the BS Big Show with Carl and a bunch of other people. Chico and I did an episode of WLTI Live. We're going to do another episode of Pixel Nation this week. And hopefully this Sunday we're going to do Red State, Blue State, finally, after a month off. And also Jim next week, I believe, is going to do an episode of Touch 'Em All because he's back too. Because the trade deadline on the 31st was absolutely bonkers. There have been power shifts in both the AL and the NL, especially in the AL, with pitchers going to places that you knew you didn't want to know, and the Boston Red Sox having a fire sale, being the Florida Marlins of 2014, pretty much. You know,
basically. In the words of Keith Olbermann, by Felicia.
Felicia, pretty much, yes. So, there you go.
I don't need to promote my own show, so I'm going to promote somebody else's. If you happen to be up in my neck of the woods, this is going to be in Wisconsin. My bad. August 23rd, Heavy on Wrestling is having a legendary show, and they ain't kidding. It's going to be in Red Cliff, Wisconsin. Check heavyonwrestling.com and get a load of this guest list. Piper. Scott Steiner.
Good boy.
Booker T. X-Pac. Jake the Snake Roberts. Hardcore Holly. Trevor Murdoch. And a few of our favorites from the indie scene, including Heavy on Wrestling champion Davari, one of the best indie prospects out there, Luke Hawks, Eric Cannon, one of the better tri-state indie guys, and a good friend of mine. The card does not specifically list the Barking Spiders, but I would think they'd be there. Let's see. Ah, yes. So you have Daivari will be defending his championship against Trevor Murdoch and Lance Hoyt. Also on the card, an Extreme Rules match, Hardcore Holly versus Luke Hawks. There will also be a women's wrestling championship between Miss Natural and Sojo Bolt. Sojo?
Yes, yeah, Sojourner Bolt, yes.
I remember her from OVW.
I remember her from TNA.
I'm going to find my way out there, hopefully. I just wish it was on that side of the guardrail. Anyway. So for that, Muckabuck, did you want to promote something, or do you want to just box all this up? Oops, you already told me. Never mind. So for our Chief High Muckety Muck who wants to go to bed, for Jason Block who puts up with all of my nonsense and helps me make most of this nonsense happen, for Brian Henniger who was proud enough to provide all the folding chairs which we will be swinging once we are off the air, and for Bad News Beeman who unfortunately has the bad news of being the last one mentioned. My name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, the most positive wrestling podcast out there, and I dare you to find somebody more positive than us.